Morning. Today's daf in Menachos is Ayin Dalid. We are today on Ayin Gimel Mud Beis, and we are halfway down in the Amud, discussion we're in the middle of, and that is Ovdei Kochavim bringing a carbon to the Beis HaMikdash. The Gemara started off with a statement by Rav Huna. It's on the very top of Ayin Gimel Mud Beis, and that is that if an Ovdei Kochavim brings Shlamim, so that Shlamim converts into an Ola. It just automatically turns into an Ola. And the basis of this, the Gemara says, could either be based on Pesukim or could be based on a simple Svara. Simple Svara the Gemara gives is that when a Ovdei Kochavim brings a Karban, so his mindset is that his idea of Karban is that's Kula LaHashem. The idea that he is sacrificing something to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so he can't even entertain the idea that we're gonna offer carbon to Hashem and then we're gonna eat it. What is that? So in other words, that's something which conceptually he can't process, and so therefore, when he offers a carbon, by definition, it's going to be an ola. Or the Gemara says it could be based on a pasuk as well. The Torah says Asher Yekriv Hashem la'ola. So anything that is offered is by definition going to be an ola. The pasuk that the Gemara is quoting contextually deals with the idea that even a guy could bring a carbon to the Beis Hamikdash, and it's okay, so good. So that's how Rav Huna arrives at that conclusion. The Gemara noted that although this is Rav Huna's opinion, and he is an Amora, but the Tanaim disagreed on this very issue, in terms of whether or not a guy can actually bring a Karban Shlamim, and this turned into a Machlokes HaTanaim. Machlokes between Rav Yosef Glili and Rabbi Akiva. Let's take a small step backwards. D'Tanya, we're going to start from the Braisa. So this is about a third of the way down, even further above. First word on the line is Rabbi Akiva. D'Tanya, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ish matam alam ish ish. The rabbi says, "Ovdei Kochavim shenodrim nedarim nedavus keYisrael." So this is the pasuk in Parshas Amor, where the Torah speaks out that that everyone can offer a karban, and according to this first opinion, which we're going to see in just a moment, is the opinion of Rav Yosef Aglili. So a guy can bring any type of karban, and he can offer karban just like a Jew can. Asher yakrivu laHashem. Now, when it says Asher Kriv Hashem, that's clearly talking about a carbon ola, but how do I know that it comes to include other carbonos as well? So Tamalamer Nidrehem. So Toda Minayin Tamalamer Nidvosam. Minayin Larabos Haofos Vayayin Valavon Vayitzim. And basically now we're coming to include every type of carbon, including wine, lavona, wood. So Tamalamer Nidrehem Lechol Nidrehem. Nidvosam Lechol Nidvosam. So the kol is a ribui. And it serves to include everything. Imke matam lama ola. So good. So now that it comes out that a goy can offer any type of carbon that he wants in the base of Mikdash, so then when the Torah says the word ola, so what is ola coming to teach me? Because at this point in time, we have now established that a goy can bring any type of carbon. So ola pralin is zero, stivar Rabbi Yosef Glili. So the exclusion is a nazir. A goy cannot become a nazir. We'll spend more time on that in just a moment. But anyway, that is all the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Comes out now clearly that according to Rabbi Yosef Glili, a goy can offer any type of carbon. Obviously, that goes against Rav Huna, but Rav Huna is going like the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to see Rabbi Akiva right now. Rabbi Akiva Omer, Asher Kriv Hashem Lola, Ainli Ela Ola Bavad. According to Rabbi Akiva, Ola, and only Ola. The high problem is zeros Mehacha Nafka, Mehasa Nafka. Now the Gemara continues. This is pretty much where we left off yesterday. The Gemara continues. The Gemara says, wait 1 second. As far as a non-Jew being excluded from being a Nazir, so don't we have another source for that? The pasuk says, "By Nazir daber b'nei Yisrael v'amart alem ishki afli lindor neder Nazir lazir b'nei Yisrael nodrim." The Gemara now, the Braisa, is fixated on the fact that it says daber b'nei Yisrael, meaning that this halacha of becoming a Nazir is strictly within the realm of Jew. So b'nei Yisrael nodrim b'ein ovdei kochavim nodrim. So Imbi Asim, the Gemara says, no, if that was the source, have I mean a carbon who delalaisi. So I might have thought that, yeah, you know what a non-Jew is excluded from? He's not excluded from the entire parsha of Nazir, but he's excluded from the carbon. Avon Nazir is chalalai, but I might have thought that, but still he could become a Nazir. Now a Nazir without a carbon, that is a little bit difficult to digest. Meaning, I guess what the Gemara is suggesting right now is that what the guy will do is he'll become a Nazir, he'll declare his Nazirus, and then in terms of termination, in terms of conclusion, so there's no end. And it'll just become a Nazir indefinitely. That at this juncture, that's what the Gemara suggestion. if we only had one source, but we don't have one source. Kamash Malan. So the secondary source is there to teach us that not only is a non-Jew excluded from the karbanos of Nazir, but a non-Jew is excluded from Naziris altogether. Kamanas Lahad Nan, the Gemara now quotes a Mishnah in Shkalim. Mishnah in Shkalim, which we actually just saw not so long ago in back in Menachos, and that is the number of takanas, the number of enactments that the rabbis made in the area of the Beis HaMikdash. And so the Mishnayos in Shkalim go through all seven. We're not going to be going through all seven right now. We're focusing on one which is relevant to our discussion. Amar Rabbi Shimon Shifat Dvarim Mitkinu Beis Din V'zeh Echad Mehem. So there are seven enactments that were made by Beis Din, this being one of the seven enactments. And they are, or I should say it is, Ovikochav Shashalach Olasami Midin Asiyam V'shilachima Nisacheha Krevi Mishalom. So if a non-Jew were to offer a karban, which again, he's allowed to do, according to everyone, he can offer an ola. So he brings it. He brings an ola. Not only does he bring the ola, but he also brings the nesachim along with it. All the accessories that come together with a standard karban, the wine, the oil, the flour. So fine, so you bring his karban ola together with his nesachim. V'im lav krevim mishal tzivur otherwise. In other words, if the non-Jew were to bring his karban ola, but he brings it sans the nesachim, so what do? So we fund the nesachim of that karban. We, meaning it's public money. So, craving Michel Sibor. So, lema Rav Yosef Glulu v'lo Rabbi Akiva. Now, the enactment is that it's coming out of public money, meaning one could easily argue, why is public money going to be headed towards the nesachim of a carbon of a non-Jew, but in other words, that exactly was the enactment. In other words, is that we're going to be funding it. But in the meantime, however, Lamer of Yosef Galiv Rabbi Kiva, right now, the Gemara is entertaining the following thought. This Mishnah in Shkalim has to be going like Rabbi Yosef Galiv, not like Rabbi Kiva. Why is the Gemara thinking that right now? Because according to Rabbi Kiva, from the non-Jew's perspective, there's only one thing that goes on the Mizbech, and that is a carbonola, and nothing else. And right now, the Gemara is thinking, and when we say nothing else, not even the Nesachim. That's what the Gemara is thinking right now. Now, the counter argument, which the Gemara is going to give right now, is Afilotem Rabbi Kiva. Ola v'chol chavrsa. So it's a very simple counter argument. No, meaning this Mishnah in Shkalim could be going like Rabbi Kiva. Either Mishnah in Shkalim is talking about Nesachim going up onto the Mizbech. Of course, because it's a Nesachim of an Ola. Meaning the Nesachim of an Ola is part and parcel of the Ola. Grant, of course, it's not the animal per se, but it's an attachment to the ola. As such, it is viewed as the just simply the broader category of the carbon ola. We have in our Gemara, the girsa we have that I just read is ola v'chol chavrsa. On the side of the Gemara, another girsa is avizrasa. Avizrasa basically are all the branches, meaning the ola and its branches. And the sachem are considered just simply part of the ola tree, if you will. Mantan lahad detan rabbanan. Okay, the Gemara quotes another brisa. Ezrach mei v'nesachim, mei inov v'kocham mei v'nesachim. So the Torah says regarding nesachim, the parsha of nesachim, odd placement in the Torah, odd just simply because if you look contextually, kind of doesn't seem like it belongs there. But obviously the Torah puts it there for a reason. But anyway, where are you going to find it? You're going to find it in Parsha Shlach, after the Chet HaMeraglim. That's where you're going to find the parsha of nesachim. The Torah over there says, who brings nesachim? Ezrach. So you got to be a citizen. So Ezrach mevi nesachim enov dikochav mei nesachim. So if you are a non-citizen, so you don't bring nesachim. So says this brisa, meaning a non-Jew. Non-Jew doesn't bring nesachim. Yachol lo sei ola sotenu nesachim. So good. So then I might have thought that if the non-Jew is going to bring his carbonola, so it comes sans nesachim. So tamalam or kacha. No, the Torah says kacha, meaning that a standard carbonola, of course, has nesachim. So obviously at this point in time, we're all a little bit confused. Meaning, so when the non-Jew brings his carbonola, so it comes without nesachim, but it has to come with nesachim. So how does that work? So yachalos eilasa tunu nesachim tamalam akacha. So mani lo Rabbi Yosef Galiv lo Rabbi Kiva. So the Gemara once again, is now thinking, who is this going like? So the Gemara right now thinks, I don't know, it doesn't seem like it's going like anyone. Why? Because he, Rav Yosef Galili, ha'amar afilu yainami. According to Rav Yosef Galili, what can the guy offer on the Mizbech? Everything. Everything. The only thing that a guy is excluded from, according to Rav Yosef Galili, is being a Nazir. And the karbanos of a Nazir. But outside of that, a guy can bring anything and everything. So of course, a guy can bring the yain on the Mizbech. And e Rabbi Kiva ha'amar ola in midachrin alo. And according to Rabbi Akiva, the guy can only bring a karban ola and not the nesachim. So yibay sema Rav Yosef Galili, v'yibay sema Rabbi Kiva. And again, the Gemara says, this price could be going like either position. Ibai Semer of Yosef Galili, Sami Me'ahi Yayin, In other words, it could be that Rav Yosi HaGlili is in fact the author of this brisa, and as far as the brisa talking about wine, remove wine from the from Rav Yosi, and meaning to say that according to Rav Yosi, a guy could bring everything except for wine. Meaning he could bring birds, he could bring Lavona, but not wine. Okay, and I'm at a loss at an explanation in terms of a goy's ability to bring pretty much anything onto the Mizbeach, according to Rav Yosi HaGlili, except for wine. Why? What makes wine the notable exception? Okay, so I don't know. Or the Gemara gives the other possibility, which we already suggested, but the Gemara is suggesting it again, and that is that according to the Brisa could be going like Rabbi Akiva, and when Rabbi Akiva says Ola and only Ola, yeah, meaning yes, Ola and only Ola, but in other words, anything that comes as an attachment to the Ola is considered categorically an Ola. So the Nesachim that come with an Ola are considered Ola. And so it's very easy to identify this Brisa as being authored by Rabbi Akiva. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of yesterday's sugya, and now we begin. We begin today's sugya with a quote from the Mishnah. So let's take a look backwards. You remember the Mishnah? Mishnah was not long ago. It opened up the seventh parak. Mishnah is found in 9 Beis Amud Beis. So the Mishnah tells us that the standard operating procedure of a mincha is komish shirayim. Kemitza of a mincha is taken by the kohen, offered on the mizbeach, burnt on the mizbeach. And the shirayim are eaten by the kohanim. Now, what about a mincha of a kohen? Well, the mincha of a kohen in general, we know, kulo taktar, it's totally burnt on the mizbeach. What about the minchas chote, of a kohen? So Rabbi Shimon in our Mishnah takes a really interesting approach, and that is as follows. The minchas chote of a kohen. Now again, remember, minchas chote, meaning to say that under certain circumstances, when a person commits certain averos, so the Torah allows for a modified chatas depending on his financial status, based on his tax bracket. If he can afford it, he'll bring an animal. If he can't afford it, he'll bring a pair of birds. And if he can't afford that, he'll bring a mincha offering. So under limited circumstances, a kohen can bring a mincha as a chatas. And not just a kohen, of course. Anyone can bring a mincha as a carbon chatas, again, under limited circumstances. See the fifth parak of Vayikra for those circumstances. In the meantime, however, what happens when a kohen is offering a minchas chote? In our Mishnah, the Mishnah only cites the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon in the Mishnah says that a minchas chote of a kohen, nikmetzes, komitz is taken off. However, komitz krav latzma, v'shirayim krav latzma. Meaning, on one hand, there is a requirement to take off the komitz. On the other hand, you're burning the entire thing. So it's an oddity, but Rabbi Shimon said in the Mishnah, yes, that's right, it's an oddity. And here's the procedure. Procedure will be that kometz is taken off, burnt on the Mizbeach. Shirayim also is going to be burnt on the Mizbeach. So despite the fact that the address of the entire mincha is one address, it's going up on the Mizbeach, being burnt on the Mizbeach, but still it's going to be divided and sent up in sections. Kometz, followed then by the Shirayim. That's Rabbi Shimon of our Mishnah. And on that, the Gemara is going to discuss. Minahani mili. So, first let me read the heading. Rabbi Shimon Amar mincha chote shakohan v'chulei. Minahani mili. Okay, so, simple question on the Gemara. What is the source of this halacha? The Tanur Rabban, the Gemara quotes. V'haisa l'kohen kim mincha. It will be to a kohen like a mincha. So this is the Torah, is description of these specific minchas chote. And the Torah's formulation over there in the fifth parak of Vayikra, it's a difficult formulation. It's difficult to translate. V'haisala kohen, it will be to the kohen kim mincha, like a mincha. The Gemara in this first opinion of the Brisa explains as follows: shetehe avodasa kshera bo. In other words, he could do the avoda, meaning what the Gemara now is entertaining in this first opinion of the Brisa is the following: let's say it's the kohen himself who has to bring the mincha. So this minchas chote, can the kohen himself actually be the one offering it? Generally speaking, in other words, if I were to have violated an avera and I need to bring a carbon, so how does that work? So I bring it to the kohen offers it on my behalf. Generally, that's how it works. Over here, however, when a kohen does the avera, so one can easily have entertained the idea that one kohen should be handing it off to another kohen to do the avoda. What we're learning now in this first opinion of the Braith says, no, that's unnecessary. The kohen himself could be offering his very own mincha, mincha's chote. So let's start again. Maybe no. Maybe the whole idea over here is to be matir. In other words, to allow the minchas chote of the kohanim. Meaning what the Gemara now is entertaining is the idea of that even though this mincha is coming from a kohen, and even though the Torah in general says that the mincha coming from a kohen is totally burnt on the mizbeach, maybe this will be different. Why would this be different? So in terms of the Havamina, so this I can explain. I think this is easy to explain. At least I think so. Because generally speaking, what do we say regarding a chatas? Part of the kapara of the chatas. Well, let's put it this way. The main kapara of any carbon chatas is the blood being sprinkled on the mizbeach. That's great. But in terms of also what's included as part of the kapara is the kohanim eating the meat of the carbon chatas. What the Gemara now at least is entertaining, it's going to end up rejecting it, but at least is entertaining right now, is that if it's the mincha of a kohen, I know that generally speaking, the mincha of a kohen is totally burnt on the mizbeach, but at least over here, let's say that the shirayim should be eaten by other kohanim for the simple reason of, that's generally speaking how kapara is achieved by a karban chatas. So at least now the Gemara is thinking, so let's do the same thing with regarding the mincha of a kohen. So that's exactly what the Gemara is suggesting. So the Gemara says, what about the pasuk? We're going to be spending a lot of time today talking about this pasuk, that the mincha of a kohen, kalil tiyeh, totally burnt on the mizbeach, and lo se'achel, and should not be eaten. Those are, as we'll see later in today's daf, those are two directives in the Torah that a mincha of a kohen should be burnt on the mizbeach entirely. Sorry, minchas nidvasa, avachavasa teinechalas. The Gemara says, "Yeah, you're right." In other words, of course that pasuk tells us that the mincha of a kohen goes on the mizbech. But at least in this havamina, we're going to say the nidava, only the voluntary mincha of a kohen, not the obligatory mincha of a kohen. Again, that's all part of the havamina. Tamalamer vaisa la kohen kimincha. So that's what we're generating from the pasuk in Parakeh. When the Torah says that it's to a kohen like a mincha, mekish chavasal nedavaso, meaning that when a mincha is coming from a kohen, it's standard. It is one destination. Man nedavaso in nechalas av chavaso in nechalas. Just like the nedava of a mincha's kohen goes entirely on the mizbech, same thing with the chova as well. Okay, so according to the Tanakam of this Braisa, it's really easy to summarize. The whole point of the pasuk is that a kohen can offer his own minchas chote, period. There was an idea that maybe the minchas chova of a kohen should be different than minchas nedav of a kohen, at least as a havamina, but the Braisa rejects that. And so according to the Tanakam of this Braisa, a kohen can bring his own minchas chote. Am Rabbi Shimon, another reason why we brought this Braisa, even though we just spent a good amount of time with the Tanakama, the reason why we brought the Braisa in is for Rabbi Shimon. Am Rabbi Shimon, v'chi nemer v'aysa l'kohen, kimincha so v'alo l'nemer, ela kimincha, doesn't say kimincha so, it says mincha. Ela l'hakish mincha, we're on the top of Ayin Dalamad Aleph, chote shokohanim kimincha chote sheyisrael, ma minchas chote sheyisrael, nikmetzes af minchas chote shokohanim nikmetzes. What the Torah is telling us is that the minchas chote of a kohen should be, now I'm going to use the word identical. Of course, it's not going to be identical. But right now, I'll use that word. It should be identical to the minchas chote of Yisrael. Now, the minchas chote of Yisrael, so we all know what happens. Komitz is sent on the mizbeach, the rest is eaten by the kohanim. So right now, we're saying, same thing with the mincha of a kohen. The minchas chote of a kohen. So the Gemara says, identical. Ima minchas chote sheyisrael nekmetzot v'shayere nechalem. Av minchas chote shekohanim nekmetzot v'shayere nechalem. So the Gemara says, well, really, if it's really identical, so are we going to be eating the shirayim of the minchas chote, of the kohen? So tamalomer la kohen kimincha. So the drasha over here is a little more specific. It says, la kohen kimincha. And the Bryce's understanding, and specifically, Rabbi Shimon's understanding is, la kohen kimincha, v'lo li'ishim kimincha. Vis-a-vis, as procedure is concerned, from the kohen's perspective, it's the same as any other mincha, meaning there's going to be a kemitza. The kemitza is going to be burnt on the mizbeach. What about the shirayim? We can't eat it. But in other words, but from a procedure standpoint, there will be a kemitza. From a fire standpoint, from a fire standpoint, it will not be like a standard mincha. Why? Because by standard mincha, only the kumitz goes up onto the mizbeach. The shiraim do not. By a fire standpoint, here by the mincha of a kohen, it all goes up onto the mizbeach. Kumitz and shiraim. Ha ketzad, kumitz krav ba'atzmo, shiraim kraven ba'atzman. So, and that is Rabbi Shimon's conclusion. The kumitz is offered by itself, the shiraim is offered by itself. Good. And so the whole purpose of quoting now the Braisa is just basically to understand how Rabbi Shimon arrived at his conclusion that when a kohen is offering a mincha of a minchas chote, it is going to, of a kohen, there will be a kumitz shirayim procedure, just like a standard mincha. But of course, this is where the similarity ends. In other words, by mincha shirayim eaten by the kohanim, since this mincha belong to a kohen, therefore the shirayim will go up onto the mizbeach as well. Gemara continues. Now, the Gemara goes back to the Tanakhama, even though really we quoted the Braisa because of Rabbi Shimon, but let's go back to the Tanakhama. According to the Tanakhama, what we learn from this pasuk is that a kohen can bring his own minchas chote. The Gemara says, you're using this pasuk as a source. Don't we have another source in the Torah? Minayin. A kohen can bring his own carbon anytime he wants. Even though there is a system in the Beis HaMikdash where you have mishmaros, the Kohanim are divided into 24 families, and each of the mishmaros are going to be operating the Beis HaMikdash 1 week at a time. So that basically in a given year, you'll have this mishmar operating the Beis HaMikdash about 2 weeks out of the year. So, and even though all that's true, but if a Kohen is bringing his carbon to the Beis HaMikdash, he can do the avoda himself. Tamalamar uva bechol avas nafsho vishares. The Torah says in Parshas Korach, the Kohen can come at any point in time and serve. Now, how do we understand that? Meaning, isn't there a system of mishmaros? And the answer is that when a Kohen's bringing his own carbon, he can come and offer his own carbon anytime he wants. The Gemara says, good, that Pasuk in Korach is instructive. But I might have thought that Pasuk in Korach is only as it relates to a nedava, a voluntary offering. If a Kohen is coming with a voluntary offering, so then he can call his own number and he could do the avoda. But if it is a chova, if it's an obligation, i.e. to carbon chatas, I might have thought that the Kohen should be handing it over to the mishmar. The Gemara says, okay, good. So we have a second source, and the second source is coming to introduce us to the idea of a Kohen can even bring his own carbon chatas. The Gemara says, but I think I have a third source. Third source is v'chiper kohen al nefesh ha-shogeges, b'chata, b'shkaga, malamicha kohen mischaper ayidei atzmo. We seemingly now have a third source that tells us that a Kohen can bring his own carbon. So now, the first source is for nedava. The second source is for a chatas. What's the third source for? Is there a third option? Now, I know this is going to be a little bit of a brain teaser, but there is a third option. So the Gemara says, yeah, sure, there's a third option. I need one source to tell me that a Kohen can bring his own carbon nedava. I have a second source that tells me that a Kohen can bring his own carbon chatzos for a shogeg. I have a third source that tells me that a Kohen can bring his own carbon for a mezid. At which point in time, you and the Gemara are going to be asking the same question. There's a carbon for mezid? The Gemara asks, b'mezid hechemishka achala, b'zadon shvua. So the Gemara says, yeah, there is a carbon for a mezid. So it's out there, meaning it's not the first time we've seen this, but there are actually, Rashi here points to two karbanos that are coming for a intentional violation of an avera. Okay? Can you guess them? Yeah, well, there's nothing to guess, meaning you know it, you don't know it. So Rashi over here writes that, number one, suppression of testimony, right? You are subpoenaed to go to the court to testify. You know the testimony, and then you falsely swear that you don't know anything, okay? And that suppression of testimony, you will bring a carbon chatas even if you knowingly violated the Torah. That's one example. A second example, says Rashi, is shivcha charufa. Right, a complicated scenario where a man is with a married woman, but not a lawfully married woman to another Jew, that's called adultery. That's a capital crime. That's capital punishment. We're talking about where she is a shivcha charufa, where she is a shivcha who is I'd say united, right? I don't want to say married because it's not adultery per se, but it was united with an Eved Ivri. So under those circumstances, she and the Eved Ivri do have a union. And having relations with her would violate that union. And so therefore, there is a special carbon chatas that's brought under those circumstances. And again, an anomaly, this carbon chatas is brought even if it's done b'mezid. Anyway, good. So what we have now is we have fleshed out the opinion of the Tanakhama. And to state succinctly, a Kohen could bring his own carbon at any point in time he wants. That's true by Nadava, that's true by Echova, it's true even by the anomalous Mezid Averis. Tanya Idach, the Gemara quotes another Braisa. We're back to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says that when it comes to a carbon chatas, when it comes to a minchas chatas, so Rabbi Shimon says the procedure of a Kohen is that kometz will be done, it will be burned on the Mizbech, as will the Shirayim. That's Rabbi Shimon's opinion. The Braisa over here goes over this position and with a little bit of a twist. Tanya Idach, we learned in another Braisa. Rabbi Shimon Omer Minchas Chotzer Shekohanim Nikmeses VaKometz Krav Bifnei Atzmo VeShirayim Krav Bifnei Atzmo. Good. Rabbi Shimon's opinion, which we already saw back in the Mishnah, which we're seeing now again in this Braisa, Kometz is offered in the Mizbeach, as is the Shirayim. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon Omer HaKometz Krav BeAtzmo VeShirayim Mispazrim HaBeis HaDashen. Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, this is Rabbi Shimon's very own son, is of the opinion that the kometz is going to be offered on the Mizbeach. As far as the Shirayim are concerned, it's not going to be eaten by the Kohanim. It can't, because remember, this is the Minchas Chote of a Kohen, so it can't be eaten by the Kohanim, but at the same time, it's not going to be put onto the Mizbeach. What's going to happen with it? Disposal. Now, Beis HaDeshen, an ash pile. Which ash pile? There are numerous ash piles in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm Rabbi Chia Bar Abba, Havi Bar Rabbi Yochanan, Beis HaDeshen Dehecha. The Gemara asks exactly this question. Which ash pile are we talking about? Idol Amala Hainu Avua. Now, is it the ash pile on the top of the Mizbech? Meaning, on the Mizbech itself. On the Mizbech proper. So there are fires burning, and obviously the fire is taking all the carbonates that are putting up into the Mizbech and reducing them to ash. And step one is that all that ash is going to be congregated on the top of the Mizbech, on a pile that's known as the tapuach. It's called translated as an apple. Obviously, that doesn't translate well into English, but anyway, it's called the tapuach. So are we suggesting right now that the shirayim of the Minchas Chote, according to Rebbe Lazar, Rebbe Shimon, is now put on that, on the Mizbeach, on that ash pile? The Gemara says, well, if that's true, so then all he's doing is repeating his father's position. That's exactly what his father says. And idolamata. Now maybe it's the ash pile below. Which ash pile are we talking about below? I'm going to say Rashi over here. Rashi writes that we're talking about the ash pile where the Truma Sedeshin is placed every morning. Every morning, a shovelful of the ashes is taken off the Mizbeach. The Kohen walks down the ramp and deposits them on the east side of the ramp. This is where the Truma Sedeshin is deposited on a daily basis. And what the Gemara now is suggesting is that the Shirayim of the Minchas Kohen is placed over there.
The
actual Shirayim itself. So the Gemara says, Yeshecha Davar Shekarav Lamata. So the Gemara says, the Gemara is basically trying to wrap its head around it. Is this an offering? Right. Danny, basically what the Gemara is struggling is the same thing you were struggling with. Meaning, what are we talking about right now? We're actually offering the Shirayim on the floor of the Azara? So Rabbi Abba says, no, we're not talking about offering. We're talking about disposal. Meaning the whole idea over here is that, look, the kometz has the same address every single time it goes up onto the Mizbech. That's easy. As far as the Shirayim are concerned, we're a little bit torn. On one hand, it's Shirayim are normally eaten by the Kohanim. On the other hand, this is the Minchas Chote of a Kohen, which is not normally eaten. So, according to Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Shimon, maybe what he's saying is that we're putting it on the ash pile, meaning where the Truma Sedeshin is placed, not as a hakrava, not as an offering, but simply as disposal. Now he says that pshat, achichu alav ichi yesh lecha davar shekarav li'ibud, and his position originally is not met with a lot of applause, but unfortunately with a little bit of ridicule, right? They look at him and they say, where do we have that? Yeah, this idea that something is prepared as a carbon and only then a designed to be sent to disposal, meaning we talk about disposal when something goes wrong, right? If there's a psul that takes place in a carbon, so then we talk about disposal. But you're talking about that lichatchila, this is what we're supposed to do with the minchas chote of a kohen, that we're supposed to take the shiraim and from a plan A, we're supposed to send it to disposal? The Gemara says, I don't understand that. So the Gemara, to which the Gemara responds, don't be so quick to laugh. Tani avua de Rabbi Avin kol minchas kohen kalil tiyah lo se'achel. Okay. We are now going to be looking at the pasuk in the Torah. We quoted this pasuk before, we're quoting it again. The Torah says regarding the mincha of a kohen, it's Perek Vav, it's in Parsha itself, Perek Vav. It's when the Torah reintroduces us back to the Menachos. It's the last pasuk as it relates to Menachos. V'chol minchas kohen, kalil tiyeh lo se'achel. Any mincha of a kohen is to be totally burnt and not to be eaten. La'achila hikshitia v'lo l'davar acher. I only compared it vis-a-vis eating, but not for anything else. That line is a little bit confusing. In fact, the Gemara wants to understand that better. My ka'amar. So what exactly was meant by that line, understanding the pasuk in the Torah? So the Gemara is going to give two explanations, but the truth of the matter is it's not two explanations. It's really one. It's just a question of how to break up the pasuk. But Abai and Rav are both going to be speaking to the same basic idea. Amar Abai hachi ka'amar. This is how we're going to understand the pasuk. Kol minchas kohen lo se'achel chovaso. Any mincha of a kohen not to be eaten, that's chovaso. The obligatory carbon, the obligatory mincha of a kohen. Kalil tiyeh nidvaso. And then when the Torah talks about it to be totally burnt, that's talking about the nidava. So basically what the Gemara is understanding or entertaining is the following. When the kohen is bringing his chova, his obligatory offering, meaning minchas chote of a kohen, so there, just the isra of lo se'achel, the shiraim not to be eaten. What's to be done with it? For our purposes, let's say disposal. In terms of kalil tiyeh totally burnt, oh, that's a nedava. Meaning the nedava of a kohen is to be totally burnt. This is how Abai understands the pasuk. Rava, Amalei Rava, Sakina Harifa, Mipaska Kra. So Rava says, wow, you took a really sharp sword, a really sharp knife, and you cut the pasuk. Meaning, you're basically breaking up the pasuk in an awkward manner. And Allah, Amar Rava. Now Rava's going to explain the pasuk, although quite frankly, the pasuk will read a little bit better. The conclusion will be exactly the same. Kol minchas kohen kalil tiyeh, nidvaso. Any mincha of a kohen which is totally burnt, that's talking about the kohen's nedava. Lo se achel chovaso. In terms of which of the mincha of a kohen is not to be eaten, that's talking only about the obligatory karbanos of the kohen. To summarize it outside, Abai and Rava basically are arriving at the same conclusion. When a kohen is offering a voluntary mincha, what happens to it? It all goes up onto the mizbech. It's all burnt on the mizbech. There's no komitz, there's no shiraim. In other words, kalil tiyeh, totally burnt. When the kohen is offering his mincha obligation, the minchas chote of a kohen, so there the shiraim is not to be eaten. But not also not to be burnt on the mizbech. So if it's not to be eaten by the kohanim, it's not to be burnt on the mizbech, so then what? Then we go back to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Shimon, and then we talk about disposal, like we mentioned earlier. Now, what the Gemara is doing and what the Gemara is about to do is the following. If you look at the pasuk contextually, this pasuk is right by the minchas chavitim. We already discussed the minchas chavitim earlier in the Masechta. That is the mincha of the Kohen Gadol that's offered daily. Va'kohen Mashiach, I'm reading just a couple of psukim earlier. Sorry, let me correct myself. I'm reading one pasuk earlier. Va'kohen Mashiach tachtav mi banav yaseh osachak olam la'ashem kalil taktar. When it comes to the minchas chavitim, the Torah's instructions could not be any clearer. It's totally burnt on the mizbech. And now what the Gemara's understanding is that very next pasuk tells us And another mincha is also burnt on the Mizbeach. What other mincha? The mincha is the Dava of a Kohen. Now the Gemara says, wait 1 second. So you're telling me that because of its juxtaposition next to the mincha of the Kohen Gadol, the mincha's chavitim, so therefore it's instructive. I wonder, says the Gemara, look, there are two minachos that are coming from a Kohen, voluntary and obligatory. Which one is more comparable to the mincha's chavitim? The Gemara does its comparison shopping. The Epechana, Mistaber Nidvaso, Havalei L'Ribuyi Shekein, there are three ways in which a voluntary offering of a Kohen is more comparable to the Minchas Chavitim. Why? Number one, Tadira, frequency. Minchas Kohen Gadol is offered daily. A voluntary offering doesn't have to be offered daily, but certainly, let's assume it's more frequent than a sin offering of a Kohen. Two, Lochate. Minchas Kohen Gadol is not coming as a result of a Chet. The Minchas Nadav is not coming as a result of a Chet. And number three, Basim Recha. It's pleasant. What exactly are we talking about when we say pleasantry? We're talking about the fact that Rashi says there's oil and there's lavona. The minchas chote has no oil, has no lavona. Adarabah chavas avala l'ribuy shekein isaron chova. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? I can also compare it to the mincha of a chote. Why can I compare it to the mincha of a chote? Because consider, number one, how much flour? One isaron. How much, as opposed to a nadava? How much flour is in a dava? As much as a person would want. Yes, there is a maximum in terms of how much flour to put in. But in other words, minchas chavitim has to be capped at one isaron. Minchas chote has to be capped at one isaron. And number two, chovah. The minchas kohen gadol is not an option. The kohen gadol has to bring it, even though it's not for a sin, but still it's an obligation. A minchas chote of a kohen, an obligation. Nedava, voluntary. So in two ways, the minchas chote of a kohen is similar to the minchas chavitin. So the Gemara says, hanach nefishin. The Gemara says, yeah, but in our comparisons, what was the final score? 3-2. Three ways the voluntary offering is more comparable to the minchas kohen gadol, and so therefore, we're going to take the pasuk of kalil tiyah and apply that to the nedava. We're going to take the pasuk of lo se'achel and apply that to the chovah. And that was all according to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. We now come back full circle to the Chachamim. The Chachamim who did not subscribe to any of this. According to the Chachamim, a mincha of a Kohen is burnt on the Mizbeach, period. End of story. Doesn't matter if it's voluntary, doesn't matter if it's obligatory. So, how do they understand this pasuk? Because this pasuk, we've treated very well according to Rabbi Shimon, according to Rabbi Elazar Rabbi Shimon. What if you're the Chachamim? So you need it for the following braisa. I know I read all that quickly, but basically the point goes like this. We have in this pasuk two isurim when it comes to the mincha v'kohen. Not two isurim. Let me say it better. Two directives. One, take the mincha v'kohen and burn it in its entirety on the mizbeach. Two, the kohen is not allowed to eat it. Now, yes, it's true. A equals B over here. If I'm burning the entirety of it on the mizbeach, obviously the kohen cannot eat it. It's just that we now have a dual directive regarding the mincha of the kohen, and how do I know that they both apply to both aspects of the mincha, meaning the quote-unquote komets of the mincha, even though there's no kometa that's done, and the quote-unquote shirayim of the mincha. So what we're learning together in this braisa is by virtue of the fact that this pasuk immediately followed the pasuk of the minchas chavitim comes to teach me that. The directive of kalil taktar, that's totally burnt in the mizbech, applies to the mincha of the Kohen Gadol and any mincha of a Kohen. The directive of lo se'achel, or I should say better, the iser of lo se'achel, is coming to teach about both the minchas chavitim and by any mincha that's offered by a Kohen. Or to put it otherwise, both isurim apply. By Ravina, Kohen she'achel min ha'amurim, mahu, The Gemara entertains now the following question. We're on the very bottom of Ayin Dalam and Aleph. If I have a Kohen that eats from the Imurim, now obviously he is not to eat from the Imurim because the Imurim are earmarked and designated to go onto the Mizbech, the Imurim of any standard carbon. And if the Kohen were to eat the Imurim, Mahu, lav de zaras lo kami baile, ki kami baile, lav de kalutiye. Now, did he violate the Isser of Zaras? Meaning, it's an interesting Isser. But, he's a Kohen. Vis-a-vis the Imurim, he has no entitlement. He is basically not a Kohen vis-a-vis the Imurim. So the Gemara says that if he's a Zar eating something that he was not entitled to, not even on the table, not even open for discussion. Of course he's not entitled to eat it. The question is, in other words, is he also violating the Isser of Kalil Taktar like we just explained? Ki kami baile lav de kalil tiyemai. Amar Rav Aaron, Laravina, Tashma, Detanya, the Gemara quotes the Brisa, Rabbi Lazar, Amar, Kol Shehu, Bekalil tiyeh, Litein lo sase al achil asel. And the Gemara says yes. Meaning once a Kohen is not allowed to eat something, so then, not only is he violating the Isser of Lo Se'achel, he's also violating the directive of Kalil Tiyeh, meaning that it needed to have been burnt on the Mizbech. Continuing with the Mishnah, we're just going to wrap up today with just quickly running through the next Mishnah in Gemara. Minchas Kohanim, Minchas Kohen Mashiach, Minchas Tesachel, Mizbech, Ve'ein Behem LaKohanim. So, just the Mishnah now is organizing our Karbanos. Certain Karbanos go on to the Mizbech entirely. So that would be the Mincha of a Kohen, like we just discussed. The Mincha of the Kohen Gadol, also like we just discussed. Minchas Nisachim, those are the accessories that come together with a carbon. So that also, meaning, and by the way, we're speaking right now specifically about the flour and the oil. What about the wine? Stay tuned. The Gemara is going to ask that question. So they go onto the Mizbech in their entirety, Ve'en Bahem LaKohanim. And no part of them go to the Kohanim. Uvazeh Yafikoch Mizbech Mikoch Kohanim. The Mishnah throws in an interesting line. You know, here the Mizbech beats the Kohanim. Okay. Shtei HaLechem, Lechem upon him. Now, what about Karbanos that none of it go onto the Mizbech? So actually, there are two. They're Menachos, but they don't. None of it go on the Mizbech. The Shtei HaLechem of Shavuos and the Lechem upon him that's weekly in the Beis HaMikdash, sitting on the Shulchan weekly. So they are exclusively to the Kohanim. Nechon the Kohanim, Ve'en Ba'em LeMizbech. And no part of it goes to the Mizbech. And regarding these two, so the Kohanim trumped the Mizbech. Now, Vesulek, another Gemara says, now, the Mishnah obviously over here is giving us an exhaustive list. And you really cannot think of anything else that either exclusively goes on to the Mizbech or exclusively is eaten by the Kohanim. So the Gemara says, Va'ika Ola. What about a carbonola? A standard carbonola. So the Gemara's answer, Ika Ora. What do you mean? No, that's not true. Not all that goes on the Mizbeach. The skins of the Ola go to the Kohanim. Like, it's a little bit difficult to even understand what the Havamina was. Meaning, okay, anyway. Ora LeKohanim. V'ha'ika Ola Sa'of. So the Gemara says, what about the Ola of a bird? So the Gemara says, Ika Mora'a V'notza. So the Gemara says, well, not every part of the Ola bird goes on the Mizbeach. The cropping gizzard of these birds are removed from the birds before the rest of the bird is offered on the Mizbech, and they are actually disposed of. By the way, second time today, you know where they're disposed of? Same place in the Trumas Adeshin is deposited daily. V'ha'ika nisachim. Now, what about the wine? So the Gemara says, l'shisen azli. Really interesting. The Gemara says, no, you know why the wine is not mentioned in the Mishnah? Because it's not burnt on the Mizbech. Do you know what it's done? It's poured down the pipes, which are located on the top of the Mizbech. And Rashi over here writes, I'm going to quote the language of Rashi. Right, v'lo le'ishim, something that's not going on the fire of the Mizbech, v'hai lo chashiv la Mizbech. That's not considered going to the Mizbech. Meaning, in this discussion, when we talk about things that go on the Mizbech, what we mean are things that are burnt on the Mizbech. Since the wine is poured, even though it's on the top of the Mizbech, the opening of the pipe is on the top of the Mizbech, but still, it's not considered la mizbech. Umay bezul afukim midishmol damashmol masnah deviyai meviyo mezafal gabi ishin kamashmalan delishitzen azlay. Now there is a really interesting opinion of Shmuel, which the Gemara is saying that our Mishnah is coming to exclude. Now Shmuel's an Amora, by the way, so it doesn't bode well for Shmuel that our Mishnah is excluding it. But Shmuel says that when a person offers wine as a carbon in of itself, So you know what you do with the wine? You actually sprinkle it on the fire. We had a lengthy discussion back in Zvachim. Tosfos over here makes quick reference to it. And Tosfos says, you know, you're putting out the fire. You're not allowed to put out the fire. So Shmuel subscribes to the opinion of Rabbi Shimon. It's what's called a Davar Sheino Miskaven. And we had a lengthy discussion back in Zvachim because even though it's a Davar Sheino Miskaven, it is a Psik Reisha. If you put wine on top of a fire, it will extinguish it. So see the Gemara back in Zvachim. It's on Daf Tzadi Aleph. Okay. I cheated. I looked at Tosos to remind me of the Daf. It was on Daf Tzadi Aleph back in Zvachim, where Tosos over there has an extensive discussion about how is this a Davar Sheino Miskaven. But anyway, Rav Shmuel's opinion is that if a person will donate wine as a karban, so it is burnt on the Mizbeach, meaning he actually sprinkled on the Mizbeach, our Mishnah does not agree with that position. So the Gemara says, well, I'll tell you what is supported for Shmuel. What about oil? Let's say a person donates oil by itself. So you know how we treat it? We treat it like a mincha. Really? Kamitza is done with the oil, which I know is difficult to imagine. Yeah, right? You got to be a little bit creative in terms of how you're doing kamitza with the oil. But for our purposes right now, let's just say it can be done. So you do kamitza with the oil, and the rest of it are eaten by the Kohanim. That's why oil didn't make it in our Mishnah. Because if a person donates oil by itself, part goes to the Mizbech, part goes to the Kohen. Our Mishnah are looking at things which are exclusive, either exclusively to the Mizbech or exclusively to the Kohanim. Finishing up, what about the Chatzos bird? Chatzos bird, isn't that totally eaten by the Kohanim? So the Gemara says, Ika Dama. So the Gemara says, no, not, yes, most of it, not the blood. Blood is sprinkled on the Mizbech. Vaika Lok Shem and Shal Mitzorah, what about the oil of the Mitzorah? Ika Mas Nosaf. The Gemara says, yeah, but most of the oil is eaten by the Kohanim, but there is the sprinkling and the application of the oil, which obviously are not eaten by the Kohanim. Umay Bezula, Fuki Meman Damer Shealechem Abos Bifni Atzman, Lisrefa Asyan, Kamash Malan de Bezu Yafakoch Kohanim La'olam. So there is an opinion that we saw earlier in the Masecha, what happens when the Shealechem are coming by themselves? Meaning, we lost the Kivsei Aseres and we're just left with Shealechem. So there is an opinion that the Shealechem are to be burnt. So Kamash Malan de Bezu Yafakoch Kohanim La'olam. Meaning that our Mishnah is telling us that our Mishnah does not subscribe to that viewpoint, but rather when the Shealechem, if the Shealechem are coming by themselves, they're still going to be eaten by the Kohanim. Shealechem will always be eaten by the Kohanim, even without the Kivsei Atzeres. Okay, Adkan, we'll stop over here. Tomorrow we pick it up with the Mishnah.